This episode of the Disney Nerds Podcast is brought to you by TouringPlans.com. Spend more time on rides and less time in line enjoying Walt Disney World. And be sure to use discount code NERDS2016 for 20% off. That's TouringPlans.com.
Welcome to the splendor, the spectacle, the sparkling sensation, where the romance, the comedy, and the thrill of Disney fantasies come to electric life.
And as our friend Jiminy said, welcome. Welcome to the Disney Nerds Podcast, a place each week where like-minded people get together to discuss all things Disney. We'll help you get your Disney fix on. Here we go.
A Magic Kingdom proudly presents, in a million points of musical light, the magical worlds of Disney.
Hello and welcome to show number 128 of the Disney Nerds Podcast. Hey guys, welcome back to the show. This is Ed and I'm by my lonesome. This week, I'm actually by myself. Jimmy's down in Walt Disney World, Sam's traveling, and Jen and Charlotte had other plans. So for this week, I'm going to do a two-part show. The first part is just a couple points from my past trip to Walt Disney World. I was down there last week for spring break and really had a pretty good time. Also, what we're going to do is talk about some of the new announcements that just came out for the parks this past week. There's a couple good things out there, a couple odd things out there, so we're going to go over some of them this week and then probably discuss them a lot more next week. Now, before I start, I want to thank John from the Big Fat Panda. He came on last week and gave us a great interview. If you haven't had a chance, go out to YouTube and look up the Big Fat Panda. And John's got a lot of great videos out there at Walt Disney World. And as he mentioned, he's got his Panda Vision. So he's gone on to different attractions a couple different times and then splices together those films. So pretty good. I also want to talk about our Disney Madness Tournament. Don't forget, we have the Disney Madness Tournament going on with all of the Disney characters we could find. So we've got 8 different brackets. We started out with 16 characters per bracket, and we're well into the second round. So if you go out to DisneyMadness.com, you could definitely vote, get your opinions in before we get on to the third round. Once we go down to the next round, we'll probably be talking about that more on the show so we can get a good idea what characters are left and who of the favorites you need to vote for. So go over to DisneyMadness.com and check it out. Okay, so as you know, I was in Walt Disney World last week, but it was only for about a day and a half. Our trip to Florida was more of a friend-family trip in that we spent most of our time in Tampa. On the way back, we crossed the state, stopped in Orlando for 2 nights, and had a really good time. Now, it is spring break time, so it was very, very crowded. The crowd calendar over at touringplans.com had it pegged at 10, and it was. However, I do want to point out some of these tips that we give that really, really worked, and we put it to the test. Now, the number one tip that I can give to anybody going to the parks when it's crowded is to definitely go to rope drop. Rope drop is the most important time of the day. Now, what's also important is actually keep checking the schedules. The week before we got there, rope drop for Magic Kingdom was 9 a.m. The day before we went, I checked the schedule again. They had moved it to 8 a.m. So if we had gotten there at 9, we would have already missed that first magical hour. So anyway, as I said, the best hour of the day is that rope drop hour. And we ended up getting there probably about a quarter after 7. And we really only waited outside the gate to get into the Magic Kingdom till about, I'd say, a quarter to 8. And then they did the great, great rope drop show. The characters of Main Street came out, introduced themselves. Mickey and his friends showed up. They introduced the family. And then we went into the park. So we were toward the front of the line as we walked down Main Street. And for us, Seven Dwarves is always the first ride to go to, especially if we don't have a fast pass for it, which we didn't this trip. So we went right to Seven Dwarves, walked almost right through the line, and went on that. So for the rest of that hour, we were able to get, and this is pretty incredible because we went over it afterwards. We were able to go from Seven Dwarves. We would have gone on Peter Pan, however, it was down. So it was already down the beginning of the day. And we ended up getting on the Haunted Mansion, going over to Big Thunder, getting on that, getting on Splash Mountain, and this is all without a line. We just walked through the queues right to the cars. After Splash Mountain, we started working our way toward Adventureland because our Jungle Cruise was our, I'm sorry, because the Pirates was our first ride of the day on the Fast Pass, and that was about 10:30. So we started working our way there, but it was only barely 9 o'clock at this point, and we've gotten on so many rides, we've covered a little bit of distance, so we slowed down a little bit. But as we got to the Jungle Cruise, we saw the sign said 55 minutes. Now, it was still pretty empty, and we were really sure that was wrong. However, you can't see where the line takes that curve into the other room. However, we took the chance, we got on the line. It was a 5-minute wait. So we got on Jungle Cruise also. And, after that, I think we walked around a little bit. We tried to get in the Bears, which wasn't open yet, and ended up going on Splash Mountain again. So after Splash Mountain, worked our way back to Pirates, and then we started the rest of the day. After we got off of Pirates, that's when the crowds really started to take effect. So after that happened, then we kind of went into our plan B mode of doing some of the rides and the attractions not a lot of people are jumping on right away. Now, for us, that was going over to Tomorrowland. So Tomorrowland wasn't getting that crowded yet, but you could start feeling it. And toward about, I'd say, like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, everything had lines. Buzz Lightyear was an hour wait. Space Mountain was about 120, 140 minutes. And what we did is we kind of just bounced around. Now, we did do lunch at about 11 o'clock, 11:15, and it was great. Cosmic Rays was still empty. The lines were short. Tables were all over the place. We did dinner at the Columbia Harbor House upstairs. And again, we did it probably about 6:30, but because it was upstairs and because the cast members were such good control over the line, we were able to get our food ordered, got the food, and we're upstairs and eating within probably about 10-15 minutes, which, considering how crowded it is, was pretty good. The rest of the day was pretty much spent dodging crowds. One thing was really cool. We made it over to Tom Sawyer's Island, and we're sitting at Aunt Polly's restaurant. It was closed while we were there, but the cool thing was, sitting in our chairs, we were able to watch the 3 o'clock parade go by in Frontierland. We can hear the music pretty clear. We could see the floats. They were a little ways off, but we knew what they looked like close up. So it was a nice, relaxing way to watch the parade, so that was pretty fun. Something else that really stood out, the Haunted Mansion line was huge. And actually what they did is they rerouted it along the river where the Liberty Bell loads up on the bottom deck. And so you can see the whole line from the Liberty Bell to the Haunted Mansion to that little stable house above it. People would walk upstairs to the stable house and then get on the normal line. So that was pretty incredible as far as the crowds went. Another thing that was pretty cool, and I probably should have noticed this the last time we were there, but the My Disney Experience app, as soon as you scan your wristband and get the picture off the attraction, after, you know, you go in the attraction, they take your picture, you scan your band, it goes right onto the app. So 5 minutes later, you can look at the app, your picture's there already. Or what we found out, the automatic videos that they give you for Seven Dwarfs and Tower of Terror. So they go on your phone pretty quickly. So it's kind of fun being online, being able to look at those pictures right away. So it was a fun trip. It was a quick one, but because we had the entire family together, we decided it was worth the effort to get into the parks. And it was worth it. We ended up watching Wishes from right outside the hub. We had a really good vantage point for that. So that was really fun. And we probably stayed only till about maybe a half hour after that, like around 9:30, 10 o'clock. It was raining, and the park was only open till midnight, so we figured we'd start fighting the crowd at that point. And Hope and I are both thinking about going back in June, so we had that in the back of our heads, and it was able to make the leaving a little bit easier. The night before was also pretty fun. I was over at Hollywood Studios. I didn't take the kids because we'd only gotten them the one-day pass. I had my AP still running, so I was over at Hollywood Studios. I met up with our friend John, and I got there probably around 6. So we had maybe 3-4 hours just basically walking around. I had a couple fast passes, and at that point of the day, they were definitely worth the while. To give you an idea again of the crowd level, at a level 10 for the Tower of Terror, the entire standby line was active. So all throughout those fountains and those wooded areas up on the line. Plus, you came out from the line of Tower of Terror. You came down to Sunset Boulevard, you took the left going down Sunset Boulevard, a little past where the kiosks were for those fast pass machines before. So it was a pretty substantial line. It still only said about 70 minutes, but I think it might have been a little longer than that. And that is a ride where they definitely are not liking you as you walk past them in the Fast Pass line. Other than that, the rest of the park was pretty much exactly expected for the crowds, other than the fireworks. The new Star Wars fireworks, and I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but they are really, really good. We got to watch them twice. We watched them from Hollywood Studios that night. John and I watched them from the Animation Courtyard. Now, I promised John not to tell him that this is our secret area to watch it from, so you didn't hear it from me, but there literally was only about 20, 30 people in the entire Animation Courtyard, and the fireworks were really right over the Little Mermaid ride and the One Man's Dream attraction. So we had pretty good seats. We were sitting around the tree watching these fireworks. It was a really, really fun time. Now, the second time we got to watch them was on the ferry boat from the Magic Kingdom. Like I said, we left around 9:30, 10 o'clock, so it must have been closer to 9:30 in that we saw the fireworks over at Hollywood Studios, and they were very specific in what they looked like, so it was easy to see those. So that was pretty fun. Hollywood Studios, now, there's some news about that tonight, and as we know, there's some things shutting down. And wouldn't you know it, I went to the writer's stop to get myself a carrot cake cookie one time, because I've never been there before. And it was a really fun time, took a lot of pictures, got the cookie, only to find out they're actually keeping that open now. So they're going to give a little bit of a different menu, and they're calling it kind of a appetizer restaurant for the sci-fi diner next door next to it. But we'll see how it goes. I'm sure they'll still have their bakery items. So I did mention that my daughter and I are thinking about going back down in June. And as I work that trip out, I'll let you know. We're definitely going to have some meetups. Now, Jimmy had a meetup this past week I heard was incredible. He was also able to do the Facebook video and Scope, and he had some really good, cool videos too, so I'm hoping to do the same thing when I get back down there in June. Okay, so now what we're going to do is we're going to go into some of these news stories that I've heard over the past week, and I kind of want to go through these just to kind of put them out there for now. We'll definitely talk about them a little bit more in depth next week, because as you see by what they are, there are some definitely some good things to talk about. Now, the first one that kind of didn't stand out, but I'm like, well, this kind of figures, was a story I heard that Spaceship Earth is going to be getting a Star Wars overlay. It seems that with the ending of Star Wars Weekends over at the Hollywood Studios, they wanted to do something to totally not forget about Star Wars. And to do that, they're going to be doing an overlay of the Death Star on top of Spaceship Earth. How incredible is that going to be? Now, it looks like it's going to be starting on the first weekend of May, and what they're going to do on certain nights, they're going to light up the Spaceship Earth as the Death Star. Now, I remember, I want to say maybe a year ago, 2 years ago, they did the entire Spaceship Earth as Mike Wazowski, and it was pretty cool because they had it moving and talking, and it looked very, very good. So now to put a Death Star on there, I can only imagine what kind of animations or graphics they might add. How small can they make a little X-Wing flying across it, perhaps? Or, I don't know. They're going to probably definitely have some great music with it. So that's definitely something to look forward to. Now, another story we read was that, and this is kind of what we were talking about for the last, I'd say over the past year, we've had a couple different shows where we mentioned this might happen, and it looks like it's definitely going to. It looks like the FastPass is going to actually cause something going into the future. Now, the way it is now, when you start looking at a receipt from a ticket purchase, you're going to see this subcategory called FastPass or FP or some kind of code like that. And basically what it's going to do is it's going to have a price of $10. Now, it doesn't add to the ticket price now, and it won't throughout the summer. But from what I'm understanding is that once we get into the fall and we start that season, the off-peak season, it's going to be an option that can be removed, kind of like a hopper ticket or a non-expiration ticket, where you can then remove the fast pass from your daily ticket or your, I guess, the amount of days you have, and it'll calculate out each per day for about $10 a day. So are we actually paying for fast passes now? Or has Disney actually gotten very smart and made it to the point where they're actually making it a extra purchase where you can save money by not getting them? So I think for that type of thing, it's only going to be time to tell. We'll see. Okay, the next story we have is a story coming out of Epcot again. And this is another one of those stories where, you know what, it's about time. And for some reason, it seems odd that it's happening now since everything else is going on in the kingdom. Everything else is going on in the parks. But it does seem to be true in that they've announced they're going to be adding a spur to the monorail to go to Disney Springs. Now, when I read this, I was like, nah, there's no way. But when I looked at the map, there is a very, very easy way to go from the Epcot parking lot across a very undeveloped area, across the golf course, right to Disney Springs. It's only about maybe a mile and a half. So as far as doability, it definitely looks like it's something that's going to help them out. And from the congestion that the new parking lots have tried to avoid, but is still happening over at Disney Springs, this could be a really cool way to get over there from all of the Epcot hotels and all the Magic Kingdom hotels by basically just taking a monorail ride over to there. So this is going to be interesting to see. Now, Reedy Creek did have the paperwork, and someone posted the permit numbers or something like that as far as the expansion goes. So it looks a little bit better than not. But again, like everything else, we're going to have to wait and see. However, this so far, I think, is a really, really cool item. So we'll see where it goes. Hopefully it happens. The next story we have comes off the Animal Kingdom website, the fan site. And I tell you what, they get a lot of good information. And there's somebody that puts that website together that works at Animal Kingdom Lodge or works at Animal Kingdom. So either way, everything that's been put out there has been pretty believable. And this one looks really good. Now, it's another one of those, well, you have to kind of look at Google Earth to really kind of appreciate it. So go ahead, if you're at home or if you're on your, you have a phone available, go ahead and open it up. Okay, so when you look at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and then you look at where Animal Kingdom is, there's a big open area of undeveloped land. Now, between the lodge and the park, it by as the crow flies, it looks like it's a half a mile, not even that. Well, what is going to happen now is that there's going to be development, which actually has started in this plot of land. The story goes now is that they're going to be putting a African-looking safari atmosphere to that area. And then there's going to be a transportation loop from the Animal Kingdom Lodge to the Animal Kingdom. Now, initially the story goes that they're going to have some type form of hanging monorail or some type of ride device that basically you'll load up at the Animal Kingdom Lodge and it'll take you to Animal Kingdom, drop you off, and it kind of keeps on rotating through. I could see this being a really cool bus ride. I could see it being in our SUV type of really cool built up, almost safari type vehicle type ride also. So either way, this looks like it's definitely going to happen. So staying at the Animal Kingdom Lodge is going to be a really extra feature of forget just being able to watch the animals out your window. You're now going to be able to pass animals and areas on the way to the Animal Kingdom also. So looks like this might be having me look at the Animal Kingdom Lodge a little bit more seriously. We'll see. Okay, so now we have one more story, and this is the one that's going to potentially affect us the most. Now, as we know, Hollywood Studios is closing down a big chunk of the park coming up. And from that section of the park, we've already seen them start construction. When you get off the Muppets attraction, you're looking out behind to where the old theater was. Down a little bit from Mama Melrose's, you could already see the vehicles in there starting to tear up the material and the roads and such. So the construction's coming. Well, it looks like what's posted on the site now tells us is that in early part of 2017, they're going to be closing Toy Story Mania and they're going to be closing Star Tours. Now, both of those attractions are going to be closed in lieu of further construction in the opening of their respective lands. So we're going to have Toy Story Mania closing with Pixar Land being built behind it. We're going to have Star Tours closing with the new Star Wars land and area being built. And, well, Hollywood Studios is going to be going down to a very, very small park. It looks like all we're going to have is the main entrance through the park and then Sunset Boulevard and then the road all the way down to the writer's stop. And I figured that's staying because we're going to need to have the restaurants, and they just announced how the writer's stop is going to be sticking around for a while. So Hollywood Studios becoming that small, what Disney has said is that they do realize this is going to happen. And what's going to cover that? It's going to be a ticket price reduction for the Hollywood Studios one-day ticket. So they're going to take their tickets down to $75, and they're also supposed to be providing another restaurant. Not that I'm sure where it's going to be or how it's going to be set up. So that's going to be interesting. So now let's say Hollywood Studios. We'll walk in there, do some shopping. We'll go down Sunset Boulevard, do our fast passes that everybody else has. And I wonder if the Great Movie Ride will still be open. That'll be interesting. But after that, that's it. So Animation Courtyard, Pixar Place, the Star Wars area after Echo Lake. Echo Lake potentially be closed too. That'll be a fun park. Animal Kingdom, eat your heart out. Well, that's it for show number 128, guys. Thanks for listening. And wow, was that a show. That's some incredible news out there. I just cannot believe what's coming to the parks. Can you? Send us an email. Let us know what you think. You can reach out to us at thedisneynerds@yahoo.com, or you could send an email right to me at ed@thedisneynerds.com. Well, thanks a lot for listening this week, guys. And before we go, I've got just one more thing for you about this week's news.
April Fools!
You couldn't fool your mother on the foolingest day of your life if you had an electrified fooling machine.
I'm gonna think of an April Fool's Day joke if it takes me all week!
This is not Frank Underwood. This is Barack Obama. Happy April Fool's Day.
Fooled you! Happy April Fool's Day!
Thanks again for listening, guys. I hope you had a fun time with this week's show. We'll be back next week with some real news. Talk to you later. Kungaloosh! Quaharini! Keep on swimming. And one final April Fool's treat from the leader of the Mickey Mouse Club, Jimmy Dodd himself, the song April Fool's. Enjoy, guys. See you next week.
First of every April is the day when there is an age-old trick to play. Fool a friend in thinking something's wrong. When he falls for that, then sing the song. April Fool, April Fool, what a lot of fun is April Fool. Whether you're in or out of school, everyone is fooled on April Fool. Spot on your face, so you rub and rub but can't erase. Look into a mirror and you'll find out that there's no dirt at all. And so we shout, April Fool, April Fool, what a lot of fun is April Fool. Whether you're in or out of school, everyone is fooled on April Fool. There's a spider crawling across your boots. Where'd you get the hole in your new suit? Oh, you spilled some gravy on your coat. Think these things are true? Ha-ha, you're the goat! April Fool, April Fool, what a lot of fun is April Fool. Whether you're in or out of school, everyone is fooled on April Fool.